So here we go. We've got a little map. So Ruth originally lived in Moab, which was the other side of the Dead Sea, about 50 miles away from Bethlehem. Now, Ruth would have been brought up along with her family and their gods with a small g. The Moabites were known to worship many gods, unlike the Israelites who only worshipped the one true God, just like we do. One true God. But because of the famine in Israel, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, took his family there to Moab to find food and to survive. This was quite a hazardous journey, quite likely taking 7 to 10 days, but needs must if you and your family are starving. However, the situation got worse over a period of 10 years, and Gordon and Lindsay are going to come and narrate, and Naomi's lovely family are going to be Orpah, Ruth, and Naomi's going to be Naomi. That's handy, isn't it? Yes. There's some lollipop microphones, Gordon and Lindsay. Here come Orpah and Ruth.
Long ago, there was a famine in the land of Judah.
There was a man named Elimelech. He was married to a lady called Naomi.
They were married a long time and they had 2 adult sons.
One was called Mahlon.
The other son was called Chilion.
They lived in Bethlehem in Judah. Bethlehem means house of bread.
Elimelech decided that rather than starve, they would go to the neighbouring country of Moab, where there was food.
All went well to start with, but after a while, a very sad thing happened. One day,
Elimelech, Naomi's husband, sadly died.
Naomi was heartbroken. She was left with her 2 sons.
They decided to marry 2 Moabite women.
One married a woman called Orpah.
The other one married a woman called Ruth.
They lived in Moab for about 10 years.
Tragedy struck Naomi's family once again.
Her sons, Mahlon and Chilion, both died.
Naomi was left without her husband and her 2 sons.
She was heartbroken.
One day she learned that the God of Israel had heard the cry of his people and had once again provided food for them.
Naomi decided that she and her daughters-in-law would return to the land of Judah.
They prepared to return home.
On the way, Naomi said, "Go back each of you to your mother's homes. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown kindness to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband."
Naomi kissed Orpah and Ruth, and they all cried. They both said, "We will go back with you to your people."
But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband."
"Even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me."
They all cried again.
Orpah decided to go back to Moab. Orpah kissed Naomi goodbye and set off to her home.
But Ruth clung to Naomi.
Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. You go back with her."
But Ruth said, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God.
Where you die, I will die, and I will be buried there. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me."
Naomi understood that Ruth was serious and stopped asking her to go to her home in Moab.
Naomi and Ruth travelled on to Bethlehem, the house of bread.
When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was interested in seeing them. The women The woman who used to know Naomi before she went to Moab could hardly recognize her.
"Can this be Naomi?" they said.
"Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty."
"Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me."
Naomi and Ruth arrived in Bethlehem just as the barley harvest was beginning.
Now Naomi did know the God of Israel, and she decided that she would return to her people. She set off and urged her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, to go back to their mother's house. Decision time. We all have decisions to make, don't we? Whether to go back to what we've come from, or whether to go on with God. Orpah decided to go back to her small g gods. But Ruth clung to Naomi. I just love the language that Ruth used, don't you? She said, "You know, I don't want to leave you or turn away." Her love was so kind and supportive and magnanimous towards Naomi. Such was her love and kindness to Naomi and her loyalty to her mother-in-law that her language is almost musical, isn't it? It reaches a crescendo. You know, where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people. And pada, FF, your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I'll be buried. It sounded like a type of covenant, a lifelong commitment on Ruth's part to Naomi. And so they journeyed together to Bethlehem, the house of bread. I love that. I love it. In our minds, what's happening? Bethlehem, house of bread. What's happening in our minds? Lovely, isn't it? Where Jesus was born. We're too shy to say. But Bethlehem, with all its connotations in our minds, as we sense the eternal plans of God being worked out, the birthplace of our Saviour Jesus, his assurance to us that he's the bread of life. Now, Naomi was Ruth's mother-in-law, and she taught Ruth to follow the name and the ways of the God of Israel. Now, I don't know if you're old enough to remember Les Dawson, but he said, you know, I could tell the mother-in-law was coming because the mice threw themselves on the traps. You know, so mother-in-law jokes are a bit sort of, aren't they, out there. But we have a person in our fellowship who had an absolutely amazing relationship with her mother-in-law, and Claire's just going to come and speak to us for a bit. There's the lollipop thing there, darling. I think it's on. I think Noah said leave it on and he would sort it out.
Is it on?
There's a switch on the side.
Is it on now?
Yes.
Yeah? Well, I would like to tell you about my amazing mother-in-law. I met John, my first husband, just before we were 18. His mother was already a widow. The following year, John was going off to university, and he asked me if I would visit his mum once a week to keep her company. This I duly did, and it was the start of a long and very special friendship. We went shopping together, we visited relations together, and we supported each other through many ups and downs. The first sad event was the death of my own lovely mum when I was 21 and she was only 57. After that, just over about 18 months later, we celebrated when John and I got married, and his mum really became my mum. 4 years after we were married, John and I sadly lost our first son, who was born by emergency caesarean at 36 weeks. He only lived for a few hours. But 15 months later, we all celebrated when our son Bart was born.
Woo!
However, Four and a half years later, there was much more sadness when John died in a road accident. And again, Mum and I were there to comfort each other. And Mum spent a lot of time travelling up from Croydon to stay with us, often for several weeks at a time. 3 years later, I met my husband, Ray, and we married a year later. When I told Mum that we were going to get married, her words were that her main concern was for her grandson, Bart, but that she knew that Ray would make him an excellent father. After we married, she continued to come and stay, sometimes for several weeks at a time. And when Charles and Edward were born, she embraced them as two more grandchildren to enjoy, and they have many happy memories of her. She made friends with Ray's mum, who was also a lovely lady, and they used to write to each other. I thank God for the very special relationship that we had, and I know that her example has helped me through many times of my life.
For you. Back to Ruth. Now, these three ladies were widows. And that word, it's like a TARDIS, isn't it? You know, to be a widow. They became vulnerable emotionally and practically, bereft in a place with no support for them. There were no pensions. The welfare state was not in existence then. But the God of Israel had set in place a welfare system for his people. But sadly, even after 10 years of marriage, they were childless. IVF wasn't around then. Naomi had a relative called Boaz, who was related to her late husband. So Ruth honours her mother-in-law. She doesn't just go off and do her own thing. She honours her, and we're told, aren't we, in the scriptures, when they reap, leave the edges of the fields so that the people can glean and get what's left over. And then the next one after that specifically mentions the widows. So there are widows. And although the law provides for the poor and needy and for the orphans and the widows, it requires hard, back-breaking work to gather the food.
Ruth wanted to be part of Naomi's family and was prepared to leave her own relatives and their religion to go with Naomi into the unknown, trusting in Naomi and trusting her God completely. She may not have known much about the God Naomi believed in, but wanted to belong to this God for herself as well. She had no doubt realised this was a God worthy of following for herself. The example Naomi had given her was sufficient to attract her away from her own people. Boaz was an important landowner in his own right in Bethlehem. He was wealthy and well respected in the community. He was also known to be kind and generous. He was a godly man and adhered strictly to God's laws. He respected and admired Ruth for the way she had supported her mother-in-law Naomi and wanted to help her by letting her to continue to glean in his field along with his workers. When Boaz spotted Ruth working in his field, he wanted to know more about her and why she was working among his women workers in this way. He was told she is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. Boaz hears about her kindness and loyalty to Naomi and provides for her by offering her water, We may think, well, that's no great deal, but water in those days was essential. It was life-giving and very valuable. In the heat of the day, water. He also offers her bread to dip in the vinegar. That all sounds a little bit sharp to me, but I can imagine that it was probably more like a wine than actual vinegar. Anyway, also roasted grains to eat. His kindness to her was pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Boaz spoke to her kindly. My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, why have I found such favour in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you've left your father and mother, your homeland, and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Boaz asked his men to pull out some stalks from the sheaves so that she would be provided for. Boaz not only provided for Ruth, but he protected Ruth. He warned the young men not to touch her or harm her in any way. He preserved her purity. He warned Ruth to stay in his own field and not to stray far away from her, the place of protection and provision. We would do well to heed such advice ourselves. We need to stay close to our God, to hide ourselves under the shelter of his wings.
So one night, Ruth got home to Naomi to be met with a mumsy-in-law interrogation. Where did you glean today? Where was it? What was the name of the man you work for? Tell me his name. And these are just two of the questions that were asked. There's probably been a lot more. So Naomi swings into female intuition mode. She does. Blessed be the man who took notice of you. When Ruth admitted that it had been Boaz, Naomi was delighted because Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. Now, what does it mean to redeem? What does redeem mean, I wonder? Buy back. Yeah. Any other ideas? Any other words? I think that says it, doesn't it? Well, because I am advanced in years, for my birthday I get lots of these. Very, very nice. £25 from Marks and Spencer's. And what it really means is somebody's paid the price for that and I can redeem it. I can go. Doesn't cost me anything. I just have to go and receive the gift. Next one. Just for you. Marks and Spencer's again. I'm going to be really well off in you know what's, like Mrs. Thatcher. Wonderful. And lastly, not a place I often frequent, but very nice, a voucher for Costa Coffee. So I can, somebody has paid for me this vast amount of money. I don't know how I'm going to spend £25 in Costas, but I will try. Take us with you. That's a very good idea. That's a super idea, actually. And they've paid the price, and I go and I benefit from what they've done. And that's just a very simple. I mean, if Pastor Alistair was standing here, we'd have a much more complicated and comprehensive definition of redeem. But for the morning, that will suffice. So, The mutual favour that God brought about between Ruth and Naomi is just beautiful. The tender loving kindness that they show one another is inspired by God's love and his purposes in their lives, his provision and his protection over these two widows. So when the harvesting came to a close, Naomi shared her plan with Ruth, a plan to provide her with a home and a family, because of course Naomi realised one day she wouldn't be there anymore, would she? We're all mortal. But she wanted Ruth to have a home and a family. So, a proposal was made. So I've asked Mrs. Catherine Sanders to come and answer a few questions. It's your little lollipop thing there. So, did your husband propose to you?
He did. Ish. Alistair style, yes.
How did he propose to you? Did he go down on one knee?
Can I just check with you, how much am I allowed to say?
True.
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 He did not go down on one knee. Because that's not our style. No. Yeah, he knew I wouldn't, I'm not romantic. No. So he knew how to ask me the way I was comfortable with.
Oh.
Is that the right answer? Good, yeah.
So where did this beautiful proposal happen, if you're willing to say?
It happened after a beautiful day out in Greenwich. We both lived in London at the time. And we had a little tradition. If we had a day out, we would always go to his place. He lived in with lots of people from our church in a house in Notting Hill. And we would always go there and we would have an apple pie, custard and hot chocolate. Yeah. So we had a lovely day in Greenwich. Then we went back to his place and stuffed our faces, and then he asked out of the blue.
And did you accept?
I did.
And you got married, and maybe you had a wedding ring.
Well, I haven't got one at the moment because my fingers have blown up, so they don't fit anymore. But they're at home in a safe place. I said yes, and then the next day, it was a Sunday afternoon, we went to the shops together, and I chose my engagement ring.
Oh.
And it was so cheap, he was disappointed. He had saved a whole month's worth of salary, and my ring was about £150, £200. Oh. So he took me out for lunch instead.
Excellent. Oh. We're so pleased you got married and had Noah, Nathan, Alex and Amy.
So are we.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Catherine. Can you leave it on? Thank you. And this morning at 10 o'clock, when the words wouldn't work and poor Dawn was being so calm and patient as she is always, Judith came up to me and said, I've just been reading this book. It's about marriage. And it just shows that the Holy Spirit likes to calm our hearts when we're feeling a bit. So Judy's going to come and speak now. I'm just going to ask her the same questions. Thank you. So, did your husband propose to you?
He did. He did.
Did he go down on one knee?
Yes, he did.
Are you a romantic?
No, but it was very special.
Oh, okay.
He surprised me because we were going to go out, and I kind of knew it was going to happen because we'd already got the engagement ring, but I didn't know when he was actually going to propose.
Mm.
So,
how lovely.
Yeah.
Did it happen locally? Or?
It happened in Broadway Gardens by the fountain.
OK. gosh. Wow, how lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you bring your picture up?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I found this in my book that I was reading and held in honour. And yeah, so that was on our wedding day with by the fountain. Oh. Photos. So.
Thank you, yeah. Jody. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It just shows you, isn't it? I mean, that's Holy Spirit led this morning. Jody didn't know we were doing Ruth. She didn't know we were doing marriage. But it was just so perfect and it fitted in so beautifully. Thank you. So imagine working in the fields from morning until evening. Imagine getting home feeling hot, sweaty, there's no deodorants then, years ago, tired, thirsty, exhausted, weary, and it must have been, you know, yuck. But one evening, Naomi and Ruth are going to swing back into action. So Naomi said to Ruth, right, get yourself washed, you know, and take off your old scarf and put on your best clothes. Now this is our version of our best clothes because Angie bought this for me out from Israel. Isn't that lovely of her? She's so kind, Angie. So she put on her best clothes and she had to do something very unusual. She was actually going to make a proposal. I mean, in leap year, we're allowed to make a proposal, aren't we? Us girlies, we can ask the chaps to marry us. Not that we would sink to such levels. But we would just observe that tradition. So our amazing Boaz enters. Okay, so if you two just stand over there for a moment, you two, thank you. And he's, thank you, Nathan. Nathan is my first choice for being Boaz. When I went to his home to ask him, he said, would anybody else like to do it? I said, no, you are my first choice. So he laid down on the threshing floor. And he had a blanket over him. It is hard, the floor. Sorry about that, mate. And again, you see, how kind. And she brought me this. She's so sweet, Angie. I miss Angie, but she's in the right place, serving God where she is. So, there he was asleep. And Naomi said to Ruth, you must go to the threshing floor and lay down at his feet. Now, this took courage. So, Helen, sorry about this. It was a female feminist free zone. So it was not a light thing that Naomi was asking of Ruth. But Ruth approached Boaz and lay at his feet.
He's quite liberated.
Yes, I think so too. He was asleep after a long day threshing the grain. But Ruth laid down. It was tantamount to Ruth asking Boaz to marry her. Very good. You have to put a little bit of the blanket over you. Otherwise, that won't be scriptural if we don't have a bit. Just move the blanket so that you can see his shoes. You don't have to touch him. That's perfect. Perfectly good. Yes. Good. Yeah, that's it. Because it says, there's a beautiful chorus, cover me, cover me, extend the borders of thy garment over me, for thou art my nearest kinsman. Cover me, cover me, cover me. Thank you. Thank you, Boaz and Ruth. You can go home now. And thank you, because it's not easy when you're a teenager to do these things, but they did. Thank you. Clap, clap, clap. Thank you. It's beautiful. So Naomi said to Ruth, don't worry, because Boaz won't rest until the matter is settled. The matter of redeeming the land belonging to Elimelech and her very self. He got the land and he got a bride. Think about that. Think about it. Bethlehem, house of bread, place of Jesus. Jesus, the land, the bride. Just let it roll round in our spirits. So Boaz had admitted to Ruth that although he was a near kinsman, there was one who was nearer. So, what would happen next? Da, 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 da. We don't know. But I've just forgotten to give out the popcorn. Can somebody give it Judy? That would be great. Because Boaz, you see, the law makes us work hard, doesn't it? And it doesn't save us. But grace gives us beautiful things. So Boaz gave her water, bread to dip in the vinegar, roasted grain, which our version of that's popcorn. And he came to Ruth with grace, and it was all pure. All pure. So now we're going to sing, I think we're going to sing. I think we're going to sing King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me, gentle Saviour, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. So beautiful, isn't it? Because it's all a picture, isn't it? It's a beautiful picture of Jesus. Thank you.
When Ruth made it clear that she wanted to marry Boaz, and as has been described, that was quite a challenge. It must have been some sort of tradition. I don't remember anything in Scripture that says it, but it was interesting. By laying at his feet, he was pleased, because Ruth was choosing him over and above any of the younger men. He actually was not all that young himself. He was there was about 30, 40 years difference between them, apparently. As kinsman redeemer, he had responsibility over Elimelech's line, but he wasn't the only one. There was one even closer in line who could buy, brackets, redeem Elimelech's estate, and with it the widow Ruth. This guardian redeemer wanted the field, but he would not take on Ruth, as it would endanger his own estate or his line in the future. So Boaz was happy then to take on Ruth as his wife, but also the land. Boaz was prepared to pay the price, whatever the cost. He trusted in the God of Israel, who could work all things out. God had orchestrated a plan which would, in the fullness of time, affect all humanity. Isn't that amazing to think? You know, Naomi gone all the way with her husband to get food for her family, not knowing whether she would come back or what, and then have to come back due to circumstances. Come back with Ruth, which she didn't know that would be the case. Amazing. God's plans, often when we go through life, we think, now what on earth is happening? And Gary out there would often say, we can work things out from the past, in the future. We can see what God's hand was. The Lord enabled Ruth to conceive. And we've got a little example, I think. God did work out all things for good, and particularly for Boaz and Ruth, because they had a son called Obed.
It's a boy!
Which means worshipper. Although Ruth was a foreigner to the Israelites, they would normally be considered by the Jews to be outside of God's mercy. God chose to use this foreign woman to be a mother in the line of Jesus. God uses all sorts of people to be part of the redemption of all humanity. How amazing. God used this situation to welcome a foreigner into the line of Jesus through Boaz. A picture of God's work through Jesus, our Redeemer, who even though we were foreigners and not originally part of God's chosen people, we are accepted into God's family through the redeeming power of Jesus' death and resurrection. Amen. Jesus was a Jew. The book of Revelation calls him the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the very place that this story took place. He was versed in the Torah. He was the Word of God made flesh, the spotless, sinless Saviour of the world. The first book of Peter tells us that it was not with perishable things like silver or gold that we were redeemed like this, but with the precious blood of Christ. We are not our own. We were bought with a price. Are we really aware of the great price that Jesus paid for us, being separated from God, his Father, while all our sins were heaped on him? God could not look on sin in any form and averted his gaze until the bill was paid in full. Jesus paid the price for us. Hallelujah. I was expecting you to come out with an hallelujah at least.
Sorry, Doug.
No, that's fine. I hadn't warned you, I must admit. Are we prepared to trust Jesus in the same way that Ruth trusted in Boaz and the God of Israel? Ruth lay in submission at Boaz's feet. Are we willing to lay at the feet of Jesus, our Redeemer? Boaz now had a beautiful bride as well as a piece of a land. Boaz is a mere picture of Jesus, our Redeemer. One day our Lord Jesus is coming back for his prize. What a day that will be. Are we making ourselves ready for that great day? Are we looking forward to that glorious day? Let's go for it, King's Baptist Church. Let us love our God and depend and rely on him in every way, now until he comes again or calls us home.